Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where right now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much. You do have options today.
Ooh, I choose the C Block.
We're gonna have a little discussion about whether or not Dak still has a chance.
Oh.
And we are going to do that, and I think it's fun, so have some fun with
Can
that.
Can you mute Mike's microphone?
After that, though.
As long as the other quarterbacks don't play so great.
After that discussion.
They almost complete 20 balls on us.
You will have the option to talk nonsense or more sports. So y'all get to vote 877-881-1053. I do, Alec, want to use the audio that we have from Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett was hopped on the This Is Football podcast. This is about a minute and 49 seconds. So prepare to hear Jason Garrett talk extensively about Dak Prescott and the comparison to the quarterback that he thinks you can compare Dak to.
Yeah, I just think he's a fantastic football player and has been. We're fortunate to have him. You know, we drafted him in the fourth round. His rookie year, he comes in. Kellen Moore got hurt. Tony Romo got hurt. We won 13-3, and we're really 13-2, and we didn't play him in the last game. And, you know, he just, to me, he's been fantastic right from the start. He's gotten better and better and better. You know, I do think that, you know, quarterbacks in so many ways, their performance can be a reflection of what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And when the Cowboys have run the ball well and played good defense, Dak Prescott has played at a really high level. Now, he'd be the first to tell you there have been some disappointments in the playoffs, right? I mean, legacies are made by winning playoff games and winning Super Bowls. We get all that. But, you know, there have been a lot of great players in this league playing that position who early on in their career and had some struggles. And then when they broke through, they broke through. And typically they broke through because the team around them had gotten better. You know, I think about John Elway, one of the greatest players ever to walk. You know, for years, John Elway would take the Denver Broncos and put them on his shoulders and take them through the playoffs into the Super Bowl. And they'd have these disappointing losses. And they did because they weren't as good as the team they were playing. And then when they got better and they got Terrell Davis and they running the football and all of that, all of a sudden John Elway's holding the trophy over his head. Peyton Manning, similar arc, some other guys. So, you know, I think it's important to recognize that it's a team game.
Yeah.
Everybody's a part of it. And when the team around Dak, like any quarterback, has gotten better, he's played at a really, really high level. And there's no reason to think he can't do that for the rest of his career.
That right there is Jason Garrett giving you the toe of hope that, hey, man, if you just wait it out, maybe Dak Prescott, it'll click for him at age 37, age 38, whenever he gets the team around him. Granted, listen, he's dead on. Dak's the kind of quarterback that needs the team around him.
I don't disagree with that.
Mahomes has had two really good defenses with him the last 2 years. He's had a couple good defenses along the way, and he needs the defenses too. Mahomes, however, whenever it's time, transcendent. And so far, we haven't seen transcendent from Dak. Kevin, you're very frustrated.
This is why I think that comparison is stupid. I think he's...
That team, by the way, that Denver team was loaded.
Yes.
That was a loaded
football. And Elway did nothing in his career up to that
point.
And that's what he's saying, though, is they always fell short because he didn't have the team.
But this is why I think the comparison to John Elway is stupid. And he goes, and Peyton Manning had a similar No, he didn't. Peyton Manning had already won back-to-back MVPs before he made it to, before he won the Super Bowl. For John Elway, John Elway had been to the Super Bowl three times. He was the MVP before Terrell Davis. We're talking about the divisional round. If Dak Prescott had been in the Super Bowl and lost, then I'd be like, right on, because we suck at stopping the run, or we can't consistently stop, whatever the case might be. He reminds me of John Elway. Okay, because Dak Prescott has been to the divisional round three times and John Elway's been to the Super Bowl three times. Is that what we're doing? That is so stupid.
He was giving you the hope that Dak Prescott can do that at the end of his career if the Cowboys get the team round. That's all he was.
Okay, then just leave it at that first part, because I think he made a lot of good points on that first part. Is pretty much every quarterback in the history of football has needed the complementary pieces around them. And I'm with him on all of that. And he's like, oh, reminds me of John Elway. He won nothing until the last 2 years. I hear what you're saying, man. He won the AFC three different times. He won the MVP. So don't tell me he won nothing before he got that run game.
All right. I did then decide I wanted to go through and look at some things, because John Elway was 37, 38 years old when he won his two Super Bowls.
And to be fair, he had not won the Super Bowl. That is true.
I did look at the average age of every Super Bowl winning quarterback. So at the average age the year that they won it, and that includes multiple Mannings and multiple Bradys. Over time, Kevin, the average age is 30. The average age for a quarterback is 30 years old. So if you're basing it on that, Dak Prescott has already missed the boat. 31, going to be 32 this offseason. So if you're basing it on that, Dak Prescott cannot do it.
Is he going to be an old 32 as well, just because the injuries piling up?
I think so. I mean, the ability to run is a young man's ability, right? Like, that's to run effectively like that is really a young man's legs. Whenever you have what he's gone through, it's a little too tough to overcome. So, I think that it feels like an old 30 right now. And that's why you're kind of sitting there going, okay, what else can we build around it? I went ahead and, Kevin, I went back to the year 2000. And I lined everything up since then. So since the year 2000. By the way, how old do you think Trent Dilfer was when he won his Super Bowl?
31.
28. I was very surprised that he was that young. I felt like he was almost 50 whenever he won that Super Bowl.
Was it the hairline?
Yeah, it was definitely the hairline.
And you know what? Another argument I'll make before these come in on the fan text, I will be willing to wager that most all of those teams also had a better front office and general manager. I concede that in a heartbeat.
Since the year 2000, the average age, again, 30 years old for Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. So the history of it,
I got you.
Average is 30.
Okay.
Since the year, in the last 24 years or 23 years, it is 30 again. The oldest being Tom Brady at 43.
He really screwed that curve up, didn't he?
The youngest being Ben Roethlisberger at 23 years old.
Wow.
So that's those are the ranges that you're dealing with there. So then what I did was I took Tom Brady out of the mix and I did the math and said, what is the average age minus Tom Brady? The average age is 28.8. The oldest being Peyton Manning at 39. And again, the youngest being Ben Roethlisberger. And then I went and found quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl older than 31 years old. What is the average age of them?
Say it again.
The quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl that were older than 31 since the year 2000.
What is their average age?
31 years old.
Okay.
Which Dak Prescott is currently 31 years old.
Did you just say he was going to be 32 before the season starts?
He'll be 32. Kevin, how many quarterbacks have won since 2000 have won the Super Bowl over 31?
Five.
Four.
Oh, that's close.
Brad Johnson.
Respectable.
Matt Stafford. Manning and Brady. So Manning and Brady obviously go into this a lot. And then in the last 10 years, the average in the last 10 years, so I shrunk it down even more. I said, in the last 10 years, what's the average age? 34. So in the last 10 years, the average age is 34. And Kevin, Dak Prescott is under 34 years old. Therefore,
Hell yeah.
Dak Prescott still has a chance. He still has a chance to win a Super Bowl. So there you go. I just gave you all the numbers that prove it. So just wait for Dak to get healthy and then wait for the Cowboys to build a good roster around him. Wait for them to get their head coaching and their coaching staff together. Maybe go through a couple of bumps, a couple of different years. Then, before 34, Dak Prescott will still have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Look, every season is a new chance.
Because he could be the next John Elway.
The front office did all of his contracts wrong. Like, throughout the entirety of his career post-rookie contract, they've done a terrible job with his contracts and loading up this roster when they had more of an opportunity. They absolutely have failed Dak Prescott. But now, unfortunately, I think Dak's going to be at a point where he can't lead them there.
Remember when John Elway sucked and he made the Super Bowl in 86, 87, and 89?
I don't.
He was pathetic.
I remember he got blown out. Was it 89?
He got blown out in almost all the 87? Super Bowls.
87? He won the MVP in 87.
I was at the skating rink in that one.
So there were only two rounds back then to play in to then get to the Super Bowl. So in his six games that he went 6-0 in those 3 years, they actually didn't even make the playoffs in 88. So he's 6-0 in the AFC in those playoff games. Yeah, they averaged 29.6 points a game. That's like, I'll be nice. Dak Prescott dreams of getting 29 points in a playoff game before the game's like 45-0.
It's
and he's
tough.
Like, watch
points
me cook. I just ran out of time. But like,
he doesn't start good in
Dak's
playoff.
Dak's going to get you 12 to 18 points in a playoff game. Your goal as a team is to build around Dak Prescott going, can we hold them to 10 or less in the playoffs? Because that's where Dak would thrive. We just have to have the Denver Bronco defense that they had when they had Tim Tebow.
I do think, though, Kevin, that John Elway line is going to continue to be something the Joneses are trying to pitch out regarding can Dak get there. Is, hey, don't forget, that guy did it at 37, 38 years old, and it took him that long in his career to get to that.
And that's what's annoying me.
That's the hope. That's the only hope at this point.
Because when he could have gotten to the Super Bowl, and make no mistake, Dak absolutely could have gotten to the Super Bowl. That is when this front office was D-ing around and not putting all their resources behind Dak Prescott to get him to the Super Bowl. I have no doubt whether you want to think it's 2016, 2018, whatever.
Yeah, but they were playing on the road as underdogs.
No, they weren't.
But, I mean, you just have to have a better team where you're not, you know, playing on the road as like a 7-point
they
dog.
Weren't.
All right, so to...
Or this last year, they could have... I'm sorry, Corey. I just want to point this out. They could have put a better team around him, and I think he could have made it to the Super Bowl.
The final thing we'll talk about here in the C Block is during Peace-a-thon, my wife and I won a massage at Elements Massage.
So we bid on that,
and we got that. Courtesy of our good friend Gavin Dawson. He sent that our way. And I've been kind of, my neck's been bad over the last few weeks. And
that's,
I was like,
back.
My back too. I said, go ahead and book it. Adrian, let's book this sucker.
Your neck and your back?
So it's a couple's massage. She booked it yesterday and she asked me, do you want a man or a woman?
Yeah.
And I thought about this for a second. I was like, is it bad that I want a woman? But at the same time,
you're not going for deep tissue, are you?
I don't feel like a woman can get deep enough. I might need a guy. And so I was like, hey, maybe, because that's the, they can't really, can they really get in there and push into the, like the scapula? And
I will tell
it really
you,
hurts?
I had a massage in Mexico and it was from by a woman. And it was deep tissue, and there are times where I was like, oh, she's getting in there.
Okay, all right. So she did get in there.
Yeah, so I do think if they know what they're doing, they can hurt you.
Okay.
But you mean that in a positive way.
Yeah, deep tissue massages are not fun. They're not relaxing.
They are for a purpose.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of afraid. So
I don't think Kevin's ever had a massage.
Have you ever had a massage?
Yeah, I had a massage once.
Was it a man or a woman?
You know, honestly.
You don't know?
I don't remember. Okay. I knew at the time, but I went with Jess because she really wanted to do that. And it made me, I don't know, because they're like, take your clothes off. I didn't love it.
I was told that we're going to be in separate rooms, so not in the same room. That's a little bit different.
We were in the same room.
Yeah, that's a little bit different than I expected, but it's fine. I mean, we're both going to get massages, I guess. So that's what we're doing. But I just, when she said that, I was like, does it make me bad to want a woman in this instance instead? Because I would rather have a woman rubbing on my body.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I don't think.
Does it change at all if the woman is ugly?
No. As a matter of fact, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Then you're good. Because if you change your answer then, I would be like, yes.
You don't see them. Like, you see them at the start. You don't see them anymore.
I remember we've done this before, but it was when Avery was like in the womb. Adrian got a massage. And it was a pregnancy massage. But we did this together. And the woman, like when she grabbed my neck and squeezed, I was like, that is a grip. That is a grip right there. And she leaned into my ear and she goes, would you like me to apply more pressure? And I was like, oh no, that's perfect. And then it turned out great for me. So I'm hoping that we get that again this weekend, man.
Gosh, I'm just excited that Dak Prescott's the greatest quarterback we've never seen.
Who is this fight against, Mike? You know I'm on your side.
I don't think he's arguing with me either.
Yeah, I just said he's the greatest quarterback we've never seen. I used a positive.
Okay.
Just never seen it.
Thank you.
I think, obviously, hat backwards dude's the greatest quarterback I've never seen, too.
Alec?
Dan Campbell?
DiNucci, was that his name?
Oh, upside down hat.
Nooch?
The Nooch.
We're the KNC masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Best quarterback you've never watched.
Coming up next.
I watched him once. It wasn't great.
Let's predict.
Because you watched him. I never watched him. He's awesome.
Let's predict the rest of the NFL playoffs. See if you've changed any of your picks from last week. And then we'll do Masterpiece of the Week next right here on The Fan.
Jackson stands 5 yards deep. He'll give it to Henry. Right side, big hole. Henry across the 20.
Oh, he's gone.
30. Leg race 40. The King's in midfield and rolling 40. 30. He might. Go. He could. 20. 10. 5. He will go all the way. Touchdown, Ravens. And this house is going wild right out of the gates.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan from the 469. And a shout out Friday. Shout out to my wife who let me take off work to go buy Pokemon cards. Does that mean his wife is his boss, like his actual literal boss? Or did his wife say go for it and he didn't tell his regular boss or she?
I'm going to go with the second option, Kevin.
Okay.
I'm going to go with he didn't tell the regular boss.
Okay.
Or she.
Now, want to see where you guys are at. We'll predict it the rest of the way. And we did this after the wild card. I want to see if any of your predictions have particularly changed. Let's start on the NFC side. Lions, Commanders. Who are you going with?
I'm going Lions.
So am I, even though it's just disappointing that, you know, the current day John Elway's not in this game, Dak Prescott.
I do think that this is going to be a touchdowns game, though. Like, there's going to be a lot of touchdowns scored. I think the Detroit defense is
so
good.
So hit the higher on underdog?
I think that, well, it's, what, 55 plus? So I think, personally, that they're... 55.5. That's their over or their total. I think Detroit's defense has been good all season long, but they might just be a little too depleted at this point in the season. And Cliff Kingsbury's offense is good. So I think the Lions' offense is going to have to step up too.
Do you think Jared Goff will be the best quarterback of the divisional round? Like, if you're playing fantasy football, taking out how much each quarterback costs.
Yes.
No, he might end up with 185 yards and one touchdown, and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery end up with more.
Do you think this will be the highest scoring game in the divisional round?
I think so.
So you'd say Jaden Daniels is possibly going to have the best fantasy day out of all quarterbacks in this round?
Maybe so, yeah.
That's how you play daily fantasy.
Yeah.
Out of all the NFC quarterbacks in this round, that's what I think.
Well, you have to pick out of all eight.
Okay, well, out of all eight, I would probably toss in Lamar.
Okay. I'm just asking a question. I don't have an answer or an opinion, really. I'm just, you know, when you play, I get the text from Derek Holland and the group. I don't play it anymore, but... I mean, these are where you have to go, who do I think is, if you're saying there's going to be possibly 60 points in the game, then I'm like, dude, like if you're, let's say, a fantasy expert, I'd be like, all right, Corey, like, dude, you just said 60 points are in this game. I need to take one of these quarterbacks.
Yes,
right.
I would agree with that. Eagles, Rams. Who y'all got?
Ram it.
I just got to go with the Eagles. Unless Kellen Moore has, you know, he did his interview virtually today and he's just caught up in the idea of coaching this team. I still think
he can't focus in the divisional round.
Yeah. As we talked with Ted Wynn yesterday, Kevin, he said the Rams have struggled to have the ball stopped in the run game and they have a prolific running back. So I'm going to stick with that.
All right.
I do. I mean, it's tough for me. This is not an easy pick. I'm just going to stick with the Rams.
But you've been consistent about
this. Just think the tough thing is for this game is Kellen Moore's used to having Superman Dak Prescott as his quarterback in this situation.
All right. I get it. Okay. Chiefs and Texans.
Chiefs by 10 or more.
Is the totals 41.5? I mean, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay.
They got the week off. That was good for them.
Bills and Ravens.
Tough. I will lean towards the home team.
You have a coin?
Is that kind of how you
view
it?
This is a coin flip game for me, man. I guess I'll go. I know it's wild that they are the underdog at home, the Bills.
It's the first playoff game since the merger that they've been an underdog at home.
I'll pick the Bills.
Okay, so you guys are both going Bills. All right.
What, have you picked at all?
I mean, I can pick for sure. I would go Lions, Rams, and Chiefs, Ravens would be my two championship games. All right, Mike, you've got the Lions and the Rams. Corey, you've got the Lions and the Eagles. Who is going to the Super Bowl?
I'll go Chiefs.
In the NFC.
And I will go Rams.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
I'll go Chiefs.
Okay.
And then I'll go Lions.
Okay.
Now ask us about the AFC.
See,
I don't know.
You guys both have Kansas City and Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. And I guess you're both going Chiefs there.
You pick for us, man. Is that you pick for us.
No. You guys. All right. So you've got Super Bowl of Rams Chiefs and you've got Super Bowl of Lions Chiefs.
I'd like to say I'll probably be wrong.
I'm going to go Ravens-Lions as my Super Bowl.
Wow. What a weird combination, too.
For sure.
Nobody would ever think the Lions for years.
That's true. Man, if you came out of a coma or something, unless your coma happened in 1991, and I told you that the Lions are in the Super Bowl, you're going to be like, what?
Where's Herman Moore?
All right. So you got Rams-Chiefs. Who's winning the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
Corey, you've got Lions Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be history one way or another. First ever three-peat in the Super Bowl era or the first ever Detroit Lions Super Bowl.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs too.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be the first ever three-peat. And to a team that very well deserves it, man. Except for that all the people think the referees are in their pocket. That's the one thing, Kevin. That Super Bowl cannot come down
man.
To a referee call. And people go, you are kidding me right now. All they did all year long was give it to the Chiefs. They can't do it again. It cannot come down to it, but it might.
I'm going to go. I just think this would be the coolest story. I'm going to go Lions that they win the Super Bowl.
I hope so, man. Done. I really do hope so.
Aiden Hutchinson's back.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he said he'll be back for the Super Bowl.
Oh, don't worry, guys.
Already got David Montgomery back.
Yeah. Hey, when you have a season, you just said it yesterday.
Dude.
When you have that moment, when you have that chance that nobody's really there to do it and you're there for it,
you
got to take care of that moment. And if it's, I know he's young in his career and he's got all this future ahead of him, but man, he might never have the chance to be back here again.
You really never know. I feel like Dan Marino is the caution tale for everyone. MVP made it to the Super Bowl in the second year and never made it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what they say about Dan Marino?
He's like Dak Prescott.
No, that's he's Dak Prescott.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was going to be some variation.
You could only dream about.
I knew it was going to be some variation of that.
Dan Isertoner Marino could only dream of having the playoff career of Dak Prescott in the future that we've never seen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Time to cuss.
It's time for Masterpiece of the Week, where we revisit the things that are said on this program that are oftentimes very concerning, random, out of context, and sometimes not FCC friendly. So usually I start off by letting you choose who we want to pick on, but I already know there's two really strong contenders that I kind of just want to get out of the way first. And then I'll let you pick, because there's some other really good ones that I want to have like their own shine. So I'm going to take you back a couple days where Kevin Hagland was talking about the advice he got from a City of Dallas lawyer.
That was a great bit of advice where you're supposed to feel bad for the defendant maybe. And they're like, oh, he might be innocent, but I hate his.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is a fun show.
I hate that.
Let's go.
You're so excited.
I was pumped.
Let's go.
Again, if you haven't seen the video, check it out on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. Carter did a perfect job doing the slow motion replay of Kevin two times, going to the duck button.
No.
And you can see on his face, his eyebrows pop up, his eyes get wide open, and his mouth is like, oh no. It's really good. That's a fantastic
video. Finally relaxed.
And he took a load off.
It's just, it's Mike going, oh, wow, this is going to be a fun show.
And he went on for like another minute after that, just egging him on.
Play it again. I just got to hear this.
All right. Where is it? Let's see.
Oh, you'll play it a third time too.
Yeah.
That was a great bit of advice where you're supposed to feel bad for the defendant maybe. And they're like, oh, he might be innocent, but I hate his.
Oh, wow. This is a fun show today. Let's go.
I just want to point out as well, the day before that, we tested the dump buttons.
Yes, that's the best part.
The day before that, I walked back in the studio, everything's quiet, and I was like, what's going on right now? And then they were like, yeah, we're testing the dump buttons. So Kevin, I guess it wasn't working before that, and we were just making sure, and then you did that. So...
yeah,
talk
we
about
just,
timing.
We just
what's
do.
What's the big deal if we don't dump it? It's one word.
It's an FCC
it's a
fine.
It's a significant fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you don't have to pay that fine.
Yeah, neither do you.
I'll probably get fired, though.
You could.
I can tell you about 90 seconds later, Mike Bacsik had to do a live spot.
This is my vote.
And there's a part where he took a couple of jabs and whatnot. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I think the best part is where he was so caught up thinking of jokes to make towards Kevin that he forgot one of the most important parts of the read.
All right. The number to call is... well, screw the number right now. Go to mensteaclinic.com, okay?
Did you have a meeting this morning, too? Or are they like, hey, maybe we don't say screw the number?
No.
And so then, like, a day or two later is when Bob Uecker died.
Yeah.
And that moment is very similar to the post-game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it. That's... like the same thing.
I love how the season starts for Bob Uecker and he's pouring the Jack Daniels in the cup already and he's giving the, and he leans out with the microphone. He's listening to this crab roar.
Hey, let's go.
They love their team here in Cleveland.
Now I'm going to let you choose your own adventure. We have Kevin, Corey, Mike, and Carter Freeman.
Ooh. Oh, I vote Carter.
All right. We haven't heard for Corey.
That's true.
Okay. Corey, you want to break up this tie?
Carter.
Okay, Carter Freeman said this, and this is really just to make Corey mad.
Where's Chedward. Prince Chedward?
Where is he?
That video is hilarious, too.
That video is funny.
I laughed so hard at that video because of the Prince Chedward. And at the very end of it, I throw out the, I love cheese. And I love that video.
The cheddar.
It's a great name, but also if you're ridiculous. Unaware that that character exists.
Ridiculous.
It really is.
Just Google
Prince
it.
Chedward. Yeah, I did Chedward because of that. Funny.
It's a handsome guy.
Now I say Corey.
I'm a big fan. Corey, you said this.
Because the kissing part, that's my favorite part. Kissing, I love kissing.
You said that was your favorite part of a job interview, though.
Of a job interview?
That's what you said.
What job interview requires you to kiss?
Man.
When has anybody ever said, all right, now let's see how you kiss?
Have you seen the history of Fox?
That's good. If you want to be on FS1. Whoops.
You imagine if that's how all the NFL job interviews went every time you had to kiss the GM or owner on the way out.
Wasn't that the who's the guy's name? Is it Harvey Weinstein?
Yes.
Didn't he run Fox? Is that right? Wait, which one was he? He was the one that treated women.
That was Miramax.
Oh. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I assume you were talking about a more contemporary.
That show with, not Megyn Kelly, but she's part of it. The movie. There's a movie about
Bombshell. Oh,
Bombshell.
You are talking about Fox. That was actually not Harvey Weinstein. That was somebody different.
Oh, sorry. I get.
But still not good.
Yeah.
This is a very provocative episode of Masterpiece of the Week. Kevin, you said this.
Is this a sex mascot story? Look.
And you can, your voice, you can tell that would have been different had you had your regular voice.
I stand by that because Corey was like, I got to tell you about this right-leaning chicken that might have, I don't remember exactly all the details, but the chicken might have voted Republican and then might have got kicked out for some other scandal about it. I just remember there was a sexual undercurrent to this that I don't think you can pretend like there wasn't.
They're saying Rupert Murdoch.
Yes. Or Roger Ailes. I think Roger Ailes, I know, was pretty bad with that, too.
I believe it's Ailes.
It's not.
No, I think he loves beer.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. Mike said this.
A stout. I think everybody should
say, watch this, and then I lay one on Sue, and then I'm like, that's how you do it, boys.
Yes, there it is. That's what I was talking about, the kissing. Making, when you get a fight, making up and kissing is the best part.
Okay, but you don't tell your sons, that's how you do it, boys, do you?
Well, you're not a good father. I guess you're not teaching them how to do it.
So, hold on. You want the kids to learn to not make up after they argue?
My son's going to text me, and my older son.
How do you kiss a girl?
Yeah, I don't know how to kiss because you never, well, because you didn't stay with my mom. But also.
All right.
Oh, that's.
Well, mom real life alert. I guess mom could have taught him with different guys.
She could have.
Let's see.
Yeah, I know we're going to get married, but.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
You shouldn't be bitter about that. Jess came along.
I'm not bitter about it anymore.
She bumbled you.
I used to really be bitter about it. But now I'm indifferent. But
yeah, kissing in front of the kids.
Let me ask you just a quick question.
Love it.
I know we're going to have to boogie Alec, but let me ask you a quick question. Let's say this was about that same person. Your open enrollment for your insurance was 2 months ago. You made that clear at the time to that other person. They ask you the last day of the insurance enrollment if you're going to keep your same insurance. You said yes. Then 2 months later, they're like, hey, how much is that going to cost me? And then you tell them and they're like, well, for the record, that would have been cheaper at my job. And you're like, hey, that's a great. Oh, I got to be careful there. Good for you. Why don't we go back 2 months ago when that was relevant information? Otherwise, why don't you shut the hell up?
You're going to cuss again. He's almost cussed again.
Almost took a load off.
From the 817, Mike, let the boy watch.
No,
what is that from?
It's Eastbound and Down.
I hate that. Kevin and Mike. Kevin and Mike, you be the judge of what they were talking about.
Okay.
It cost a bunch of money, but I got it.
It is soft. Dang it. What?
Kevin.
Is that for cheese?
I think it's about ash, like wood.
Oh, okay.
No, it was. Was it about cheese?
I don't know. I don't remember. So
you be the judge.
You're the one talking about how soft it is.
Mm. And you said how much it costs, though.
Mm. What costs a lot of money that's soft?
Winner for next week, ladies and gentlemen. That one wins right there.
All right. We got time for one quick one. Mike said this.
I heard on the radio you lick it off.
What the hell,
that's from
Mike.
Your son in the window.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to lick his windshield.
Look, I know I'm going to lose. I'm going to vote for Mike's live read. This was spectacular when he was like, I don't know what the number is.
All right. The number to call is, well, screw the number right now. Go to mensteaclinic.com, okay?
Like, that's amazing. It was about Mike's water.
Kevin, I appreciate your efforts, but I think we all know the truth here. Would you like to read what I wrote down, Kevin?
No, I already did that once.
Yeah, so I'm writing down the F word.
It said Kevin F's, so that's his. That's
complete
mine.
F's.
Mike, is that your vote, too?
Yeah, full F's. Okay. All four letters.
He didn't come to completion on that, though.
Remember, yeah, he three letter. Short. But well, like we said, K's useless.
Okay. We'll make it a queen sweep here, a gentleman sweep, if you will.
That was a great bit of advice where you're supposed to feel bad for the defendant, maybe, and they're like, oh, he might be innocent, but I hate his.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is a fun show today. Let's go.
And that's Masterpiece of the Week.
We're the K and C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Let's chit chat with those fellows from the G Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Throwing weird, quick throw to the near side. Good adjustment and a catch by Goddard, who runs over his man, still at his feet, and he scores! What a play by Dallas Goddard! Ran way through Valentine for the touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Remember, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting at Rangers Fan Fest with Will and Jake. They got Ian Kinsler at 11, Kamar Rocker at 11:40, Cody Bradford at noon, then Jared Sandler, Bochy at 1:40, and Pudge at 2. So stacked lineup at FanFest. And right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Heggie. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. I know we've talked a lot about Bills Ravens, and I get the intrigue there. Is there another game that you're like, this is high on my playoff list,
you know,
this
weekend? Well, because of the way the Rams defense has been playing, and going up against Kellen Moore, I do feel like the Rams have a chance to humiliate Kellen Moore and propel him down the power rankings of head coach candidates.
And right to Dallas.
And could also be a snow game. Both of them, right? Like,
yes.
Bills, Ravens, snow game, and then maybe we get Eagles pack or Eagles Rams snow game. So I think those are probably the top two. But Commanders Lions, I am very intrigued by. Like, Commanders should be playing without any pressure right now. They've already advanced. They're the farthest they've ever been since 91. Everybody's gushing over them. Jaden Daniels, though, is a cheat code, and he can provide a lot of problems for a banged up, Lions defense. So, hey, they got David Montgomery back. Maybe the Lions just run all over Washington. I'm kind of expecting that, but I'm hoping for fireworks in that game, and this thing's just back and forth, maybe an offensive shootout.
As somebody who can just sit at home where it's warm and watch the TV, I enjoy the snow game. Do you guys like it, or are you like, man, I really wish I could see, like, what would be optimum football? I don't know how you would describe it.
I love the snow. Fun to participate in. Yeah. You know, it makes it very challenging, which is fun. It's funny, the 5 years I was in Green Bay, I think we only had 3 snow games.
Really?
Yeah. We had, you know, bitter cold, but we had a game one time. It's funny, you know, we're with Bob Uecker and all at County Stadium. My first year there, we were playing the Lions. And it was snowing sideways, and it was actually a lot of fun. It's better, in my opinion, to play in the snow than it is to play in brutal cold weather. There gets to a point where it won't snow if it gets too cold. Those are the games that are hard to play in because of just you can't fit, you know, they couldn't feel their fingers, their feet. Those were big problems. But the snow games, generally about 28 degrees, you know, kind of fun to be able to navigate that.
It looks really cool, too, whenever the fans are
That's
throwing
true.
It up in the air.
That's true. Yes, dude.
The aesthetic of it is amazing. As long as you don't get too much snow and it's not snowing too hard that it's wrecking the visibility of, like, the lines.
I gotcha.
Or the angles, you know, and there can't be so much snow that the passing game is totally destroyed.
Now, I know a lot can go into this, but you know how resumes are judged off of playoff success or lack thereof success. Do y'all like who do you think is going to win, Bills or Ravens?
I mean, it is, I'm just going to lean with the Ravens. You saw what they were able to do that first time. I do think just the general star power of what they have and the way they're able to run the ball and Lamar Jackson just be able to do whatever he wants. I do think they have more of an advantage over the Bills defense than what the Bills have over the Ravens defense, which is really clicking at the right time. But I think we're in for an awesome. I think you're talking about the Bills probably wanted to slow the game down and run the ball. They're running the ball extremely well. But ultimately, I'll go Baltimore.
Yeah, Bills have a huge problem here because they play nickel defense 95% of the game. And all of a sudden, now you're dealing with a running game, and now you're thinking about, do we play with the extra guy in the box?
Yeah.
Hard to do when you're playing a lot of nickel defense there. So the commitment, you know, how committed is Buffalo going to be to try and stop this running game? Because if they don't, you're going to have, like Chiefs talking about, you're going to have a repeat of what happened last time these two teams played.
I'm going to lean Buffalo. I think Sean McDermott.
That's a tough call.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a coin flip game. I think Josh Allen is going to make some special plays, both quarterbacks capable. But I don't think Josh Allen, I think he's going to find a way to will this team to victory. I do believe in Sean McDermott. I've seen some times where I thought the Bills' defense was totally going to be outmanned, and he's got an ability to schematically find an answer. So having played them week 4 and Derrick Henry ran all over them, I think he's going to have a different game plan and adjustments on how to handle that. And they've got Matt Milano back at linebacker, which is huge for them. So I'm going to lean Buffalo at home. And if they don't advance, I feel bad for both of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because both of them are just going to be absolutely just thrown to the wayside for whoever loses. It's like, okay, well.
Even if it's 38-35, yeah, they'll be like, so-and-so can't win.
That might
win.
Be the only yeah. exception. Like if it's a Mahomes-Allen Chiefs-Bills game like 2 years ago where Allen scores 16 seconds left, not his fault, they lose. Maybe that's the only exception. But otherwise, the loser of this game is going to be in a world of hell.
Dominant running game. Let me go Baltimore.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold is always, Heggy. Thanks for asking. It is a double guest Friday, which includes Jory Epstein at 3:20 and Danny Cannell talking natty there at 6 o'clock with you.
I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us on Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
Well, screw the number right now.